our first reading comes to us from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. It says there, what then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. For if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in God in Christ Jesus. Our second reading comes to us from Matthew chapter 10, beginning in the 24th verse. Jesus says there, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the mountaintops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we have been worshiping together apart for a while now. And this is becoming part of our routine, worshiping in this way together. But regardless of whether we are in our own homes worshiping together or we are gathered in one place, we pray that your Spirit might penetrate our hearts, that they might open to you just a bit more fully this day, that your truth, your word, might be spoken into our hearts so profoundly that we can't help but overcome our fears, step out in faith, and live for you. Oh God, I am not perfect. My words are not perfect, but your love is. And so I pray that you would use me and my imperfect words to convey your perfect love this morning. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, I pray. Amen. Well, some of you may remember that my stepdad's parents became deaf as preteens. I can't imagine how traumatic it must have been to go from hearing to a world suddenly filled with silence, to struggle to understand or to be understood by anyone and everyone. With time, each learned to read lips and learned also sign language. Still, they experienced the world differently than most. Alarm clocks are a little bit different for a deaf person. So too are doorbells. What do you do when you have to go see the doctor or want to go through the drive-thru for fast food? What about if someone starts honking their horn to alert you of something in the road? But there is also great beauty in experiencing life from the deaf perspective. There are deaf church choirs who dance and sing in sign language in unison by feeling the vibrations produced by the beat of a drum. What continues to resonate with me as I think back on opportunities that I have had to listen to just such a choir is the look of pure joy on the faces of each of the members of the choir as they make music to God together. They do not take for granted the gift of music or its ability to communicate with the divine, that they get to sing to their Creator. It's powerful. The hearing impaired may struggle to hear, but that doesn't mean they can't listen. Yet silence at times can be deafening for us all. Silence can isolate us, and it can be oppressive. So too can noise. And there is a lot of noise out there. Social media, politics, the news are filled with so much noise, it can be difficult to hear if anyone is actually saying anything worthy of bending our ears towards. Then there's all of our technology, smartphones, constantly sending us reminders and updates and advertisements and emails, all of which have the ability to pull us away from what is right in front of us. We can watch movies on our phones or tablets, send text messages with our watches. We can send the world a picture of what we had for breakfast in seconds. Noise. Ask the parent of most any young child, it doesn't matter how introverted they are in public. At home, they talk nonstop. They talk to you so much, after a while, you zone out, hearing not a word they're saying until finally you come out of your fog as you realize they've been calling for you repeatedly. Dad, 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 Dad. It's strange how noise can also be isolating and oppressive in its own way. Last week, we learned how Jesus saw the crowds and had compassion for them. He didn't just observe them, see them with his eyes. He really, really saw them. And I encourage each of us to really go out and to look, to really go and see people, not just their exteriors, their job descriptions, but really see the person's heart. Then I encourage you to send me an email with a picture of that person along with a caption that describes what you saw. And I told you that if you didn't send me pictures, that I was going to get really annoying and bug you about it incessantly, until you actually would go out and see people and take a picture and send it to me with that caption. And guess what? One person sent me a picture with a caption. And that was Nelwyn, who took the picture during worship service as I was preaching, probably so she wouldn't forget to do it. And you might think that that actually was cheating, because at first I kind of thought that when I saw it. But the thing is, what you wouldn't know by that picture is that after worship service ends each week, Nelwyn and I stand around talking. And we don't just talk to talk, but we really interact with each other. We talk about the beauty of music and how this has offered us the unique opportunity to connect with each other and through music and with God in a different way than we have experienced in the past. We talked about not superficial stuff, but stuff that matters, stuff that's important to us. We share our hearts with each other after church each Sunday. That is seeing someone. So I'm going to encourage you once again to find a way to really engage someone, to see them, to really truly see beneath the exterior and whatever is going on in the moment to the heart of that person. Send me a picture with a caption describing it. See the people. My email address is pastor@gentumc.org. pastor@gentumc.org. So you're sending me a picture of a moment when you saw a person, really saw them, and giving a caption with it. But today we turn to hearing the people. In our gospel reading this morning from Matthew 10, Jesus tells his disciples, "For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whisper, proclaim from the mountaintops," or excuse me, from the housetops. It can be difficult to hear the voice of God over the noise of this world. Even in the silence, it can be difficult to hear that still small voice or gentle whisper, as it is also translated. And if we can't hear God's voice, if we don't stop and listen for it, we can't really truly hear all the people either. Because what we do is we listen for all the wrong things. We don't listen for what really matters. We don't really hear what the heart of the other person is saying. Therefore, we cannot see what has been kept secret that needs to be uncovered. We cannot proclaim from the housetops what God whispers to us in that moment. It really struck me when all of us first began self-isolating just how quiet our city became. I live just a few houses off of a very busy road. There was very little traffic. Normally you can hear the roar of the traffic constantly going by, stopping at the lights, not stopping at the lights. The traffic had died down and it became quiet, and you could really hear the birds chirping, bees buzzing. The amount of junk mail even decreased. Things simultaneously sped up and slowed down as we began to adjust to this new normal, whatever that is, that we've all been living through. Over the last week or so, the noise has begun to increase again. The traffic has picked up. So has the junk mail again. We're living through a rare moment in time that offers us the opportunity of perspective, to strip away the noise and focus on what needs to be brought out in the open. And so I want to encourage you this week to listen, to really hear people, to not so much seek to be understood as to understand, to hear people's hearts and what it is that God has to say to them and or through them. Really listen to someone. Really listen for God and how you are to speak the love of God into that moment and into that person's life. Really listen. Hear the people, hear God, and then send me a picture that reflects that moment. Put a caption with it of how you heard that person, really heard them, heard people, how you heard the heart of God. Send me that picture and that caption at pastor@gentumc.org. I shared with someone in our church recently that my stepdad's dad, I called him Pop. Pop, he lost his hearing when he was about 12 years old from spinal meningitis. At least that's at least as much information as we really know. And so he had 12 years of being able to hear as most of us hear. And he went to church during those years. And even decades later, decades of not being able to hear with his ears, he could still sing the song, Amazing Grace. Each of us struggles at times to really hear the heart of God, to lay our hearts open, raw, vulnerable to God. God is listening. God hears his people. And the more and more that we are able to open our hearts up to God, to truly hear God, the more we can speak God's love into the world. A world that keeps secrets. A world filled with so much darkness. You have the unique opportunity to shine the light of God into a world that desperately needs it, especially now. So friends, hear God and hear all the people. Amen.